sound pretty tired, man. And it's like 8 o'clock now.
All right, we're back, folks. We're putting together a little round table. The joys of real live radio. Vinny, say hello.
Hello, everybody. I'm Vinny Eastwood, Mr. News from the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. And we do a five-day-a-week radio show, cracking on, I think, 2 hours a day? Yeah, 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, and we bring on pretty much everybody that the listeners suggest, so we set the bar pretty low, which means, incidentally, that we wind up getting a lot of guests that nobody's ever heard before, and as a result, you wind up hearing things you've never heard before, and it winds up giving you something that most of us lack when it comes to our current media experience. It's called perspective. And usually, perspex is pretty hard to break, but when it comes to gaining a perspective, it's not that difficult. It just requires you to shush sometimes and just listen. Specifically, listen to different people who have different ideas that you haven't already been exposed to, because then you actually grow as an individual rather than becoming some kind of mindless, slobbering sycophant.
Karen, are you here?
I am, actually. Thank you very much, Dave. Thank you, Vinny and Dave. Great job. I've been enjoying the United We Win Marathon from the background all day long today, and it's been a real pleasure. Thank you very much.
It was relatively easy until the last 2 hours.
Those OSMs get everybody.
Well, we figured out what was causing it here, and we fixed it.
Oh, well, don't you just love those technical difficulties that really challenge you as a radio show host?
Yeah, but, you know, I have two people here helping me, and it's made it a whole lot easier. And I've got to get up. I had to put another show up there that people were having trouble with, and that was the first one this morning. And this has been a very interesting day, and I've asked a couple of other people if they want to join in, but I haven't.
Well, that's okay, man. There's plenty of stuff to talk about going on in New Zealand here. It's just it's another day in paradise. You wake up in the morning and you go, oh, mate, we live in paradise. Isn't it just lovely and fabulous? Oh, no. Search and Surveillance Bill legislation. What's that? Oh, well, it's basically like the NDAA on crack. Except,
Vinny, you have such
except
a way
instead
with words.
Instead of you know, loving, caring individuals in military uniforms wearing special badges who could just black bag you and disappear you, now pretty much anybody in 70 different government agencies as obscure as the pork board can do it to you. Some guy's upset at your ham sandwich, you're going to be disappeared, boy. Military tribunal in secret, you're going to be killed. No, I'm just joking. What they'll do instead is just break into your house while you're not there and secretly install cameras, which they're now allowed to do without a warrant, surveil you for an entirety of 3 days with the video footage in the bathroom kind of thing. You know, they'll catch you at the shower, all of that kind of stuff. Because as you well know, Dave, most terrorist plots are conceived in the shower. Like a lot of rock star children as well. And,
Vinny, thank you. You have caused me to laugh, and I feel like a new man.
All right. Well, at least you're not a test tube baby, even though you are a super soldier. Well, I like to look on the lighter side of genocide, Dave. You know I do. Because you've got to have a laugh at these things. Because, hey, at the end of the day, they're really not funny at all. So the only way to really be able to, you know, survive and maintain some sort of semblance of sanity whilst talking about all of this stuff is to have a few good, long, hearty cackles about it, preferably around a campfire with a few dozen beers of some description, you know, and having fun. Ultimately, if you're not having fun, what's left? You know, if you're not having fun, what's left? Can you answer me that? The answer is nothing good. And so, ergo, if you're going to be taking things seriously, and believe me, I take conspiracy theories and the fact that the ruthless criminal sociopathic elite are trying to kill all of us, I do take it very seriously. However, I don't go to the point where I take it so seriously that I'll start getting angry with other people if they don't accept my views, or start calling them names, or start wars and stuff on patriot wars and what have you over it. You know, it's just kind of like a waste of my time. It's like, hey, is this funny arguing with this other person in the truth movement? How many common enemies have we got? Oh, you know, like all of them. Perhaps we can just leave those arguments that we have for another time. Perhaps another time when we're not about to be ruthlessly exterminated. You know, I always thought that was a brilliant idea, you know. Figure out what's actually a danger to you. And in general, other truthers are not. And they probably never will be. They're not the kind of person to go and enlist in the government and come up to you and, you know, ruthlessly exterminate you on your porch, are they? Other truthers aren't like that. And yet, we have a huge amount of infighting in the truth movement all over the place.
Really? I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, yeah. It's rife. And it's great because it means that the truth movement's actually real. I mean, if it was fake, there wouldn't really be any fighting going on. Everybody would be working together. So it's good on the one hand, but on the other hand, mate, oh, it's just so many people. They could be doing a lot of really good working out there, but they're still stuck on holding a pin on those other people who tick them off sort of thing. And I don't think there's a brilliant way to go about it. Not at all. If anything, the people who tick you off are the people you should avoid. Namely, because they tick you off and nobody wants to be ticked off. And if that's not straightforward enough, the fact of the matter is if you ever want to get vengeance or comeuppance on somebody for messing you round or for saying something wrong or whatever, you have to exert an enormous amount of energy in order to accomplish that. Much more energy than they've accomplished ticking you off with. If anything, your life has to go on hold until you get your revenge. And then, once you've gotten your revenge, what do you got then? You still got nothing. I mean, you may have defeated your enemy and what have you, but you actually really ain't got nothing to show for it. What did you do? Steal their radio show? No, doesn't happen. The only thing you've really wasted there is a heck of a lot of your time, which you could be better spent out in the streets protesting, or on the radio, talking and helping people to come to terms with some of the BS that we all have to deal with. I think that's pretty straightforward. My concern with the human race is that the things that we value, or rather the things that truly affect us the most, aren't the things that we value, they're the things that offend us. For example, you'll have a look at, say, a couple of YouTube comments on one of your videos, for example. I'm sure everybody has this problem. And you'll get plenty of good comments saying, yeah, that's awesome, that's great, thank you for doing this, etc., etc. And you won't have much of a reaction. But you get that one comment that is, you're COINTELPRO, you're insane, you're a Zionist, you're a stooge working for NSA and the CIA and MI5 and MI6 all at the same time. And you're trying to brainwash people into vaccinating their children for some obscure psychological methodological reason. You know, come on. let's just stop all of that kind of stuff, because all of a sudden you get really angry. Why? Because what they're saying is a lie. It's not true. It's not based on any facts. It's not based on any evidence. Here's the question: if somebody's coming at you without facts, without evidence, that's just purely based on wild attack and opinion, does it serve to benefit you in any way from consistently sitting there up until 3 a.m. in the morning, keeping on replying, when the only replies you're going to get from them are the kind of replies that are probably going to frustrate you and do a few face palms here and there, going, oh my god, this person's so stupid. And the reality is, you're the stupid person. You've been sitting there actually humoring this idiot for goodness knows how long. Imagine what else you could have accomplished in the meanwhile.
You could have invented a new longer-lasting light bulb for all you know. But no, you were there at 3 o'clock in the morning arguing with somebody about reptilian scumbaggery that's trying to, like, insert itself into your rectal brain pan. It's not working. It's not working. You're wasting your frickin' time. I gotta stop doing it, man. And I see it all the time. All the time. Oh, God, it's horrible. It's horrible. Because you see, because there's so many talented people in the truth movement, eh, Dave? And often, because of the fact that they lost their previous employer because they realized that they were a eugenicist, for example, they kind of get really upset when anybody criticizes their work, and as a result, they lash out, attacking anybody who criticizes them. This is not the correct thing to do. You're going to waste your time. Everybody ends up exactly where they deserve to be. Here's the question. Do you think you deserve to be arguing with idiots who don't teach you anything and certainly don't learn anything off you arguing with them? Do you deserve that? Are you just some evil, bad person who's been sentenced to this hell on earth of replying to moronic YouTube comments? You know, is that your future? I can just imagine Hitler, that one of his sentences that the devil passed down was that he had to, reply to 100 YouTube comments a day, 100 YouTube commenters a day, and try and convince them that they're idiots. Giving one of those endless, eternal, hopeless struggles to deal with. Wouldn't that be nice? A fitting demise for the Prince of Eugenics. But it's not going to happen that way, is it?
I don't think so.
No. Because although everybody ends up where they deserve to be, it excludes pricks. Because pricks, on the other hand, seem to have the upper hand, as it were. You have a look at Dick Cheney, for instance. You figure if there was any justice in the world, any! you'd see this guy's transplanted heart or what. I was really surprised to see that he got jumped forward in the queue for a heart transplant. Not that it was surprised that he jumped forward in the queue, but I was surprised that he had one in the first place.
Are you sure he didn't have one?
Well, he is like the Darth Vader of the administration. So I almost have this vision of Dick Cheney, you know. You know, coming up like Revenge of the Sith or something like that. With his crown of horns and his double lightsaber, frickin' Dick Cheney, take it out the Galactic Republic. And isn't that what's actually happening to... That's what's happening to the Republic now, isn't it? They take it over by the Dark Lord of the Sith. And in this case, the Dark Lord of the Sith is our Dark Lord, Barack H. Obama, who is probably, in my opinion, one of the scariest and most frightening political figures that the United States has ever had at the helm. Not because he's overly evil or ugly or disabled in a wheelchair or warns about the encroaching military-industrial complex. No! What I fear most about Obama is being swooped on by a drone. Hellfire will point at my skull. That is what concerns me about Obama. And it should concern everybody else too. I was on another radio show the other day, Dave, and this dude had been getting followed by a drone in this car for about 30 minutes. It's just like, oh my god, what's he gonna do? Fire at me with his Avenger assault rifle mounted on the top of it or something. I'm like, oh no, Obama's onto me. He's onto me.
That's a scary thing, but it's really happening in this country. And they think it's all right.
Oh, they think it's fun. You know, let's face facts here. There's nothing more fun than playing a computer game where you get to fly around some awesome piece of technology and blow the living shiite Muslim out of other stuff. And in some cases, literally. So that's basically what the United States has now become. Okay, they've got no manufacturing base except for that of arms, weapons, and drones, and Justin Bieber's. You know, like basically that's the economy now. Vain entertainment and killing
parts, including CPUs, are made where? In China.
Mm-mm-mm. And where does all the waste go? It's funny to me, don't you think, Dave, that you design everything here, you ship all everything off to get manufactured in China, and then you ship it back here to get consumed, and then it goes into disrepair, and then you send it back to China to these giant e-waste tips, that they call them, so that the Chinese people who aren't dead from assembling the stuff in the first place can instead die after picking over all the rubble that they've got there. It's just, we have a really sick world, man. A very, very sick world. And in the cancerous sense of the word, I think, and that's kind of what's going on here. Because ultimately, it's about something eating away at you. You have a look at Obama. What does he do to liberty? What does he do to freedom? You have a look at any president, really. It's the same deal. They consistently, step by step, it's like they're it's like they've got Alcoholics Anonymous running the country. You know, they have a step by step program of on the road, worse economic and military health. You know, if anything, they're just putting the hell back into health care. That's all they care about now. Is the United States turning into a living hell? It used to be paradise as far as people back through history have been talking about. You're capable of starting a business, making a living for yourself, taking care of your family, working in a good manufacturing job with overtime and extra pay packets and benefits, the most highly productive country in the entire world. And people were getting paid the most at the same time, too. So what's going on here? How can people get paid more and be treated better and actually be more productive? I thought that you had to basically enslave people in order to become more productive. Well, actually, it's about incentive. And what the government's doing now, after everybody benefited from a whole lot of that incentive to the start, don't you think? Everybody kind of started to get out, get work, get jobs, get money, houses, cars, PlayStations, all of that sort of stuff. And now everything that made America great needs to be taken away, and taken away in relatively short succession. It's very quickly turning into a police state. Although the boiling pot has been sitting back going for quite some time, hasn't it, Dave? They've been working along in the background, passing this legislation, that legislation. Nobody knows even what the heck is going on there anymore, do they? Everybody's concerned about American Idol. And yet,